Hold it.
The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, 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 golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher. Happy New Year and welcome back to the final episode of the 2017 NFL season review right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. Yes, you heard me correctly. 17 weeks of the NFL season are officially over and so are the playoff chances for the Raiders and the 49ers. So no, there will not be a return to the Bay's Golden Days this year, but I do have some good news with the Oakland Raiders rumored to be hiring John Gruden and the 49ers on a 6-game winning streak with Jimmy Garoppolo. I said there's plenty of Bay's Golden Days ahead of us in the future right here in the Bay Area. So sit tight, Raiders and Niner fans, because on this episode of this podcast, we're going to go ahead and look back and see where things went wrong for the Raiders and where things turned around for the 49ers, as well as finish off our final week in review, the week 17 of the 2000 NFL season by the point spread in our weekly betting segment, Straight Cash Homie. We'll then go ahead and look ahead to the wild card round of the NFL playoffs and look at all these fantastic matchups. 8 new teams will be entering the playoffs. We'll see who has a chance to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. But let's go ahead and stick to the script and do what we've been doing all year long, and starting off with the Oakland Raiders, who returned for Los Angeles for the first time in 23 years.
The Los Angeles Raiders.
Archell has won in his Raider debut.
The only way to play this game is you got to get down in the dirt and get down. Let's go.
Just win.
Think it's a Chargers home game, right?
They could expect 75% Raiders fans.
Yes, the Raiders went back to Los Angeles for the first time in 23 years, and just like I guaranteed on the podcast last week, Raider Nation was in full force and took over that little soccer stadium. It's just unfortunate for us that the Raiders team actually didn't show up and did not come to play, as they got blown out in an embarrassing loss to the Chargers, 30-10. But hey, what I say last week, we play spoiler alert and stop the Chargers from getting into the playoffs. Well, they beat us, but they still missed the playoffs. So I guess at the end of the day, it's really not that bad of a loss, because it actually improved our draft pick. And now we have a top 10 draft pick. The Chargers are eliminated from the playoffs, and we got a brand new head coach coming right around the corner. Yes, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because it's not official yet, but bring out the Chucky Dolls, Raider Nation. John Gruden is rumored to be coming back to the silver and black. But before we get to the firing of Jack Del Rio and all these John Gruden rumors, let's go ahead and hop into this game real quick and just give you a quick recap of where it all went wrong. In the first quarter of the game, there was no score at all, but the Raiders actually end the quarter with a big Marquette King punt that downs them all the way down to their own 1-yard line. And what do the Chargers do? Oh, of course, they go on a 9-play, 99-yard touchdown drive on the back of Melvin Gordon. He was ripping off some big runs. He gets about 15 yards down the field. He gets stripped by Markell Lee. And where does the ball go? Straight into the arms of Keenan Allen, who catches it like a loaf of bread coming straight out the oven. He takes it straight to the house, 27 yards for a fumble recovery touchdown, and they're up 7-0. Now, Raider fans, especially if you have been listening to this podcast all season long, you know that this is basically a microcosm of the Raiders' 2017 season. Even when they do something right, it still goes wrong. We got a potential turnover, it ends up in a touchdown. This happened against the Chiefs. A ball tipped off Carl Joseph's hands, went into the hands of Tyreek Hill for a touchdown. I'm pretty sure it happened against the Broncos. I'm pretty sure it happened multiple times this year where balls were tipped off our own hands and somehow end up in the other team's hands for another touchdown, for more points, for a possession, whatever it might be. The Raiders somehow, some way, cannot get the ball to bounce their way. But hey, I guess that's why a football is not round, because you never know which way it's going to bounce. And this year, especially for the Raiders, when we won 9-1 possession games last year, this year the ball did not bounce our way. And let's go ahead and finish off this game, because it just got uglier and uglier from there. The Raiders were able to answer back though with ACDC, Amari Cooper, and Derek Carr tuning up the band one last time before the season over. They connected on a 87-yard bomb on a 3rd-and-22 play. I just want to say this real quick. Before the 3rd-and-22 penalty, it was 3rd-and-12, and Todd Downing called a screen. Oh, well, hey, we got a 10-yard penalty. Let's back him up for 3rd-and-22. Maybe he just needed more of the field to work with. Give him some more open space, because then Derek finally throws it downfield to Amari Cooper, and it's an 87-yard touchdown, and we got a tied 7-7 game. On to the next drive, and the Chargers are driving downfield again, but our defense is able to hold him to a field goal attempt, and we all know the story with the Chargers kicking from Young Ho Koo from the beginning of this year to whoever the hell they got back out there this week. Well, this guy was just straight kicking liners at people's faces. And I'm not joking, because Justin Ellis, Big Jelly, had a blocked field goal with his face. Yes, right in the face. He blocks a field goal, and the Raiders are still tied in this ball game. The Raiders then recovered that blocked field goal at the Chargers' own 30-yard line, but they couldn't capitalize and could not get into the end zone. They had to settle for a field goal, and we got the lead 10-7, but Phillip Rivers is playing for his playoff life. He was playing for his family up in the crowd. I mean, every time they tried to show Chargers fans in this game, they literally just showed Phillip Rivers and his, 14 kids, because it seemed like those were the only Charger fans in the stadium. But they were cheering when Phillip Rivers responded with a 56-yard touchdown to Tyrell Williams. And surprise, surprise, blown coverage by none other than Reggie Nelson. This was terrible miscommunications. Him and Sean Smith both jumped on the flat route. I don't even know what Reggie Nelson's doing trying to cover the flats in the first place, but he got burnt. 2-minute warning. Next thing you know, the Raiders are driving the ball into the Chargers territory. Derek Carr launches a bomb up into double coverage. Probably wasn't the best decision, because it ends up being picked off. And next thing you know, Phillip Rivers is driving down the field, picking apart this Raiders defense. And with 1 minute left and a half, it ends with a dime pass. I'm talking about an absolute dime thrown up to Keenan Allen. TJ Carey tried to turn around in the corner and tried to break it up, but he couldn't even see the ball. It was lost in the sun. It looked like Keenan Allen just stuck his hands out and the ball fell right in. A beautiful corner throw by Phillip Rivers. They did miss the extra point before the half, but they are still up 20-10. Then we get to the third quarter, and the Chargers start off the second half with another field goal to go up 23-10. The next drive, the Raiders get back into the Chargers territory again. They're driving all the way down the field. We're finally getting some momentum. Marshawn Lynch has been running like a beast the whole entire day. We get in a 4th-and-2 situation at the Los Angeles Chargers' own 20-yard line. We're down 13 points, so I understand 4th-and-2. Hell yeah, let's go for it. Why not? We're already down 2 possessions. I got no problem with that. The problem I have with it is it's 4th-and-2, and for the back-to-back week, Todd Downing puts them in shotgun running situations on 4th-and-2. How the hell are you going to be in shotgun on 4th-and-2, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-goal? I don't care what the hell it is. You have Marshawn Lynch in this game. Marshawn went for over 10,000 career yards. Why not just hand the ball off and go straight up the middle with Marshawn Lynch? I thought everybody learned this in the Super Bowl when they lost to the Patriots and Pete Carroll did not hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Hell, to start the season, Derek Carr said, hey, whenever it's 4th-and-short, we're going to hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. Well, I guess fucking Todd Downing didn't get the memo, because for the 5th time this fucking season, it's 4th-and-2, and he does a pitch to Marshawn Lynch. He tries to throw him an outside pitch out of a shotgun formation. Holy shit. I've seen better play calls by a 5-year-old playing Madden. Holy shit, Todd Downing. I don't want to celebrate Jack Del Rio getting fired. That's not even until the next segment. But I'm just happy that Todd Downing will be right out the door carrying his bags, because that just did it for me. I didn't even want to watch the end of this game. Terrible play call. And this isn't even the first time he did it. He did it last week against the Eagles. 4th-and-2, you go in shotgun. I don't understand it at all. Give the fucking ball to beast mode. It's that fucking simple. Todd Downing, I'm not going to miss you. Pack your bags and follow Jack Del Rio right out the fucking door. And then pretty much from there, the game was over. Because guess what? On the very next drive, Phillip Rivers connects with Travis Benjamin for a 62-yard touchdown to go up 30-10. And guess who it was over? Reggie fucking Nelson. Reggie Nelson, you're a free agent. I don't think you're coming back to the Raiders. You're leaving with Jack Del Rio. You're leaving with Todd Downing. You're leaving with Ken Norton. All these players, all these coaches are going to be swept to the curb with John Gruden, new coach coming in. Of course, those are the rumors. I don't want to get too excited. I don't want to jinx myself, but hey, I've been saying it all week leading up to the news and these rumors coming out. The Raiders were not going to fire Jack Del Rio unless they knew they were going to hire John Gruden. So for that reason, in my opinion, I already think John Gruden's got the contract signed. He still has NFL obligations for calling the wild card game this weekend, the Chiefs and the Titans. So he's going to show up, call that game. The Raiders still technically have to go through the Rooney rule and interview minority coaches. I don't understand this rule. They're just going to make them do a bunch of false interviews because everybody knows the Raiders are going after John Gruden. The only reason Jack Del Rio is getting fired is because it's an upgrade over John Gruden. I've been telling all my friends the analogy. They've been coming up and asking me, like, why Jack Del Rio? Why is Jack Del Rio getting fired? And I told them it's simple. If you're in a relationship, you got a girlfriend, yeah, you're pretty happy, but then a Playboy playmate strolls in there and wants to fuck you, hey, you're probably going to end up fucking the Playboy playmate because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. John Gruden has been rumored to be coming back to the coaching staff for years and years and years. He is one of the six active coaches now with a Super Bowl ring. So, hey, that's why they're offering him $10 million a year. Hell, that's why they're offering potential ownership. Hell, I don't care. I offer him the whole entire team. He could take over because I'm just excited to get rid of Todd fucking Downing and bring in a great offensive mind like John Gruden. I mean, honestly, I think that's the biggest reason why Jack Del Rio got fired, his assistant coaches, and hiring and firing his assistant coaches at the wrong time. Because last year, after Jack Del Rio completely turned around this franchise, let me just say that from the start, after Derek Carr and Khalil Mack's rookie year that saw him start off 0-10 until we beat the Chiefs and the Niners in back-to-back weeks, they turned the season around next year to a 7-9 record. Next season, 12-4 record, and we're back in the playoffs in the first time for over a decade. This year, unfortunately, things fell apart and we get back to a 6-10 record, and just like Jack Del Rio said, it's a business. It's a results league, and it comes down to the business that Jack Del Rio did not take care of, because after last season, the Raiders improving so much, becoming a top five offense, Jack Del Rio goes and fires his offense coordinator, Bill Musgrave, kicks him to the curb just to hire a rookie offensive coordinator. You all know his name by now, Todd fucking Downing. Yes, the same Todd Downing who has been 0-for on fourth down, it seems like, all year. The same Todd Downing that led the Raiders to a negative 14 turnover ratio. The same Todd Downing that took Raiders from a top 5 offense to a bottom 20 offense. I mean, it has been pathetic the way that Todd Downing has ruined this offense. Let's just talk about this past week in the fourth down. He was 0-for-3 on fourth down. And like I said, back-to-back weeks running shotgun at a 4th-and-2. Yes, the 4th-and-1 situation, he lines up Derek Carr with a 5-wide receiver empty backfield and then has him motion up to the line of scrimmage and run a quarterback sneak. Hey, you need 1 yard. There's no running backs in the backfield. Surprise, surprise, it's a quarterback fucking sneak, you dummy. Next thing you know, it's the last chance of the game. 4th-and-goal. Derek Carr, once again, for the second time this season, has to throw the ball away on a 4th-down play because of such terrible play calling. God damn it, Todd Downing, you're done. And these are just examples from this past weekend. We don't even want to go into a whole entire season where he's probably last in calling play-action plays, where he doesn't know how to utilize Marshawn Lynch and keeps throwing him screen passes and then bringing in DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard on 4th-and-goal situations and 3rd-and-short, doesn't know how to use Marshawn Lynch, can't call play action, can't throw the ball down the field, can't do nothing right, it seems like. Todd Downing, you're one hell of a quarterback coach last year, but Jack Del Rio straight screwed up when he got rid of Bill Musgrave and kept Ken Norton Jr. Ken Norton didn't do anything for the defense. Halfway through this season, he fires Ken Norton Jr., promotes John Pagano, who did a fantastic job coming up and doubling up the sack numbers, doubling up the interception number, doubling up the turnover numbers. Pagano did a much, much better job than Ken Norton ever did, and that just really is Jack Del Rio's bad timing. He fired an offensive coordinator too early, fired a defense coordinator too late. Hell, if he would have made these moves at different times and had them flipped, maybe we're back sitting at 8-8 record, 7-9, 10-6, whatever it is to get back to the playoffs. I think the big key was when we were 6-6, facing off against the Chiefs, and we just came out flat. Came out like we didn't even want to play. I had the rant about Todd Downing, about how do you have a game plan where you put up 30 points and 500 yards, and you come back and put up 15 points and 250 yards. The Chiefs literally cut his game plan in half, and that was the story for the whole entire coaching staff the whole year. It simply looked like we were getting out-coached, outplayed. We came out flat numerous times and let the game get out of our hands before we even had a chance to compete. At the end of the day, this Raider coaching staff failed expectations for the 2017 Raider season. Yes, everybody, after a 12-4 season, making it back to the playoffs last year and seeing the terrible injury that Derek Carr went through, a lot of people had picked the Raiders as a potential Super Bowl favorite. Hell, I picked them to win a division. I picked them to go back to the playoffs, and so I am disappointed in the expectations. Hell, you go around in the Bay Area, Niner fans are happier than Raider fans just because they exceeded their expectations, and the Raiders fell so far below their expectations, even though they ended up with the same record and probably the same draft pick. At the end of the day, it's about expectations, and boy, oh boy, are expectations going to be higher for John Gruden to come back and turn this Raiders team around, because like I said, this Raiders coaching staff has failed the talent that has been on the roster this year. We'll see who John Gruden potentially brings in for his own coaching staff. There were a bunch of rumors before this game even happened this past weekend that John Gruden had already signed, that he already had reached out to Rich Gannon to be his quarterback coach, maybe his offensive coordinator. Rich Gannon was actually commentating the game for the Raiders and the Chargers this weekend, and you could hear it in his voice. Rich Gannon was calling out all of Todd Downing's bad plays, calling out the lack of execution and production from the offense. He talked about him sitting down with Derek Carr and talking about players not holding themselves accountable for themselves. I mean, this man, Rich Gannon, was just going in this weekend and talking like he was already the offense coordinator / quarterback coach. There's also rumors that John Gruden could bring in Gus Bradley to be his defensive coordinator. He could bring Bill Callahan back. Hell, he got the Raiders and the Buccaneers to the Super Bowl in the same year. Why not bring back both the coaches that got him there? I don't care. I'm just looking forward to John Gruden bringing in this West Coast offense, airing the ball down the field. He comes for that Bill Walsh, that Mike Holmgren tree. He is the heir to the West Coast offense. He's an offensive-minded coach, and I think he is going to do great things for Derek Carr. I've gone back and watched the Gruden quarterback camp with Derek Carr a few times now just to see the chemistry between them two, and I think Derek is going to bounce back easily from his worst season of his career, because we all know, I've been talking about it all year long on the podcast, besides Todd Downing and the offense coordinator that really regressed the whole entire offense, Derek Carr was coming off from a broken back, a broken leg. He's dealing with all these injuries. He still had an over 62% completion rate, still threw for 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. And like I said, Raider fans, you know, half those interceptions came off tip passes. It seems like he was just getting a bunch of bad luck. But like I've said, he was the fourth quarterback and the fastest ever to reach 100 touchdowns in his first four seasons. He's the third quarterback in NFL history to complete 300 passes in each of his four first NFL seasons. Derek Carr has the talent. He has the skill. I don't know why everybody's acting like the sky is falling. Just a year ago, he was an MVP candidate before all those injuries he went through. Hell, I've mentioned it time and time again. Him and Mariota went through the same leg injury. Mariota took his team to the playoffs this year, but no one's paying attention. Mariota has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns this year. He's a little scared in the pocket too. Yes, Derek has been a bit hesitant, has been a bit gun-shy, to be honest, in the pocket, but I think that's going to improve next year. I think that he'll be back better than ever. Amari Cooper, I think he has an even better year because he had 1,000 yards in his first couple years as a rookie, his second season. This year, he comes back, only has 680 yards, did have 7 touchdowns off of 48 catches. He dealt with those ankle injuries throughout the whole entire season, but we saw at the very end, he burned Jalen Mills. He burned Casey Hayward. He was burning these good defenses late in the year, and it was just taking more chances to get the ball into Amari Cooper's hands. I think with the next offense coordinator coming in, with John Gruden and his offense, they're going to go with this West Coast offense, push the ball downfield, and Amari Cooper should have a big year. It's just going to be a question of who's standing on the other side of the ball from him, because Michael Crabtree, the rumors are that he will not be returning to the Oakland Raiders in 2018. He could be released to save $7 million off of the cap space. He only played 31% of snaps this last week. He saw against the Eagles the week before. He put up a goose egg in the fantasy championship weeks when he got 3 targets but 0 catches. It looks like he's been getting phased out of the game plan. Apparently, he's been butting heads with coaches. There's been rumors there's been a team cancer in the locker room. We all know Michael Crabtree from his diva days back in San Francisco. I don't know if he's complaining about not getting the ball enough. Hell, a lot of people got a lot of things to complain about when the team's losing. It's a lot easier to deal with your 5 targets a game when you're winning games, but hey, at the end of the day, Michael Crabtree, just like Amari Cooper, had a disappointing season, had 618 yards compared to his 1,000 a year ago and 8 touchdowns. I was so juiced last year when Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper were the first Raider wide receiver duo to have 1,000 yards each in the same season since Jerry Rice and Tim Brown. Well, it looks like this wide receiver duo might be coming down to their last days. Unless with this new coaching staff and John Gruden, maybe he can get into Crabtree's head. Maybe it was just a disagreement between the coaches and the players, but if Michael Crabtree is causing a bunch of disruptions in the actual locker room between players, it's probably Crabtree's last couple of days. But we shall see what happens if we got to go after a wide receiver in the draft or in free agency next year. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I thought Jared Cook stepped up also. He actually was second in the team with 54 catches, 688 yards. Did only have 2 touchdowns. I thought he could have been better in the red zone as a tight end, but hey, we'll take what we can get. And Jared Cook, his contract coming up. I think he'll probably get re-signed next year. Donald Penn dealing with that ankle injury. David Sharp came in and played pretty well. We all know about the middle with Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, and Kelechi Osemele, probably best 3 interior linemen in the NFL. I think we might go after a tackle in the draft this year or maybe sign one. It'll be interesting in these last couple years with Donald Penn, but at the end of the day, I'm just looking for a big, huge leaps of improvement from John Gruden coming in and taking over this coaching staff. And hey, I'll be right back here to announce it on the Bay's Golden Days when it's official, and he does, but it's not official yet. So let's go ahead and talk about the defense now that we talked about the season recap. For the offense, the front 7 I think played above expectations. Like I said, ever since Chuck Pagano came in the second half, this defense stepped up. We signed Navarro Bowman. Some people said he couldn't play anymore. Some people said he was too slow. Well, he came into this Raiders defense and led the team in tackles 9 out of the 10 weeks that he started for the Raiders. This is a linebacker that I think we definitely need to re-sign because we don't got any depth at middle linebacker. So Navarro Bowman is probably number 1 on my list of priorities to re-sign for this Oakland Raiders defense. Khalil Mack, we all know Mack. 10.5 sacks again this season, double-digit sacks. The man has been a monster. Danico Autry played well next to him. He's a free agent. That could be a possibility re-signing for free agencies. Bruce Irvin had an up-and-down year. He could possibly be back, or he could also be a cap salary hit. It's going to be interesting to see how it folds out with that front 7. For our defensive backfield, I mentioned it earlier, Reggie Nelson is a free agent, and I do not want him back at all. He's been getting burnt left and right the past couple years. I think his days are numbered. He's like 34 years old now. I think he's done. Sean Smith, we saw what he was able to do in a different defense than Ken Norton's with Chuck Pagano. He looked like a completely different corner. I still think he's getting paid a little bit too much. If he's able to renegotiate that contract, I think we re-sign him. If not, he might just get released. But don't worry, Raider fans, because help is coming. It means we basically got 2 extra first and second round picks this year because Garyon Conley only played 1 game. Obi Melifonwu only played 1 game. So we got a corner and a safety from our first and second round draft picks coming out to help these DBs next year. Probably the only DB that will probably return is TJ Carey. He played pretty well in the slot. He actually led the team in tackles. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how we attack this draft with a top 10 draft pick. Maybe go after a linebacker, Raquan Smith out of Georgia is a possibility. Hell, maybe we go after a safety, Fitzpatrick from Alabama. I don't care. I just want some playmakers, and I just want some dogs who just want to come in and play. And I just want somebody to be inspired. I want someone to ball out. I want to see the seed of Chucky be planted back into this Raider Nation as we are on the return to greatness. It is still the return to greatness on the Bay's Golden Days because I still believe that the Raiders will win their division next year and get back to the playoffs. Hey, you heard it first here. I'm not giving up on the Raiders. I'm not jumping ship. We still have 1 more year left in Oakland for sure. Guaranteed. Could be 2 more years. But next year, John Gruden is coming back to the Raiders. The Raiders will be in the playoffs. You heard it first. Marcus Boucher right here on the Bay's Golden Days. But that's enough talk about the Oakland Raiders right now. We'll talk more and more about John Gruden coming in, the future expectations, and the draft coming up. We got a coin flip coming up with the Niners to see who's going to have the 9th overall pick. There are still a lot of things going on with the Raiders' future, but we'll go ahead and digress now back to the rest of the 2017 NFL Week 17 season. Let's go ahead and check out what happened in Week 17. In 60 seconds.
On opening night, the Chiefs stunned the defending Super Bowl champs. But the Pats dominate for the rest of the season. Rookie Deshaun Watson electrifies, but his season is cut short. Matter of fact, way too many seasons were cut short. 2018, the year of the comeback. The Rams start hot, but we've seen this before, right? No! Goff, Gurley, Donald, and McVay bring playoff football back to L.A. The Eagles soar to the top of the NFC East even when their MVP quarterback goes down. The rest of the division? Lots of questions heading into the offseason. The Vikings, led by a dominant D and unlikely hero Case Keenum, rule the NFC North. Sacks on sacks on sacks in Jacks. The Jags are back in the playoffs for the first time in a decade. The Saints are back too, and this time they ran their way into the playoffs. Cam Newton wears a lot of new hats, but gets his Panthers back to their 2015 form. The Browns go winless. The 49ers don't get many wins either until Jimmy GQ shows up. Russell Wilson scrambles, but can't scramble his way into the postseason. The Steelers think they have a huge win, but there's a catch. Actually, there's not a catch. And then in Week 17, the Falcons, Titans, and the Bills punch their postseason tickets too. Yes, the Buffalo Bills are in the playoffs for the first time since 1999. Wild Card Weekend is here.
Yes, Wild Card Weekend is here, but first we've got to give our final review of the 2017 NFL regular season with Week 17 to see who are the final teams that will get into the playoffs because, man, oh man, I've talked about it all year long in the parody that has been the NFL. Five out of the six NFC playoff teams that made it last year will miss the playoffs. You thought that was bad? Three out of six out of the AFC teams that made the playoffs last year will miss the playoffs. Yes, there will be eight brand new teams who make the playoffs. So let's go ahead and see who won in Week 17 to be one of those new eight teams. We'll start it off in the AFC West and finish off this AFC as we already talked about the Raiders and Chargers. The Chargers did not make the playoffs. They did not have the tiebreakers go their way. In some way, the Bills got over them, but we'll go ahead and get in the rest of this AFC West. The Chiefs and the Broncos. The Chiefs got their first win with their rookie quarterback Patrick Mahomes as they improved to 10-6 on a year and officially win the AFC West. Kareem Hunt ended the year as the NFL's leading rusher, even though he didn't even have to play in this game. They're playing all backups, but Patrick Mahomes, that first overall pick for the Chiefs in this last year draft, gets his first moments of action and gets into the end zone, had a rushing touchdown, and they got the win 27-24 to cover that +3 point spread and win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. Moving on next, we'll go ahead and look at the AFC North and look at the champion from that division, who is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who ended the year 13-3 after taking care of the Cleveland Browns 28-24. And this was another game that we won you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days because I told you to take the Browns and the +11 points because somehow, some way, this game was going to be a lot closer than Steelers fans thought because they didn't even play any of their starters. Ben Roethlisberger didn't even put on his cleats, didn't even put on his shoulder pads. Le'Veon Bell was on the sideline. Antonio Brown is still trying to rehab all he can, but it was Juju Smith-Schuster, the rookie, who absolutely put the team on his back. He started the game off with a kick return touchdown, and then he added 9 catches for 143 yards and a touchdown. He is the youngest player ever in NFL history to put up over 1,000 all-purpose yards, so hats off to Juju Smith-Schuster. Hell, if only his name was Boo Boo Smith-Schuster, he could be one of the killer bees, but I'm sure Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are not complaining about adding that young, talented player to the roster. While on the other side of the ball, the Cleveland Browns will be trying to add more and more pieces to the roster because for the first time since the Cleveland Browns did it in 2000-2001, the Cleveland Browns are back-to-back NFL draft champions. Yes, they will be picking first overall for back-to-back years, and they are the second team ever in NFL history to complete the perfect season of 0-16. God damn it, I was just 1 year short on my prediction. I went off on them last year saying the Browns would never win a game, blah, blah, blah. And then the fucking San Diego Super Chokers had to blow it. I thought the Browns were actually improved and would be a better team this year, but I guess not because they did not win any games at all. But hey, they're not complaining because they ended up with the number one overall pick and they have the number four overall pick. Yes, if you remember correctly, they traded that pick to the Texans last year so that they could move up and get Deshaun Watson. Well, the Texans lost to Deshaun Watson this year and played absolutely terrible. They don't even get to keep their top five pick. The Browns better do something smart. They better go after a quarterback, maybe Saquon Barkley. They got to get some playmakers. They got to turn around, but their season is done. Their hopes at winning are done. Corey Coleman had a chance on fourth down to keep their season alive, but he dropped the ball and dropped the Browns down to an 0-16 record. But hey, Browns fans, if you're not happy enough with the first and fourth overall pick, at least you can join in the parade because there will be a parade for the 0-16 Browns. Yes, I heard they're going to make a huge zero around the stadium to signify the amount of wins they got this year. I don't know what's going on in Cleveland, but hey, you still got King James and you still got Stipe Miocic. He's fighting Francis Ngannou coming up. But hey, away from the MMA, let's go ahead and finish off this final 2017 NFL recap. Moving on, staying in the AFC North, we had an upset special as the Bengals Bengals are playing spoiler work in back-to-back weeks as they took out the Ravens in a heartbreaking loss, 31-27. And when I mean heartbreaking, I mean it, because the Bengals were backed up in damn near a 4th-and-14 situation, and Andy Dalton throws up a bomb to second-year player Tyler Boyd, who gets into the end zone, and they knock the Ravens out of the playoffs. I swear to God, on the final play, you think the Ravens defense, if anybody who could step up and make a play, but nope, the Bengals and Tyler Boyd channeled their inner Jacoby Jones, just like the Ravens did to beat the Broncos all those years ago, to get into the end zone and knock the Ravens out of the playoffs. And this is back-to-back week now. The Bengals beat the Lions last week and eliminated them from playoffs. Hell, the Bengals got eliminated from playoffs themselves weeks and weeks ago, but they are still playing spoiler. Maybe they bring back Marvin Lewis now because they won a couple games at the end of the year. I don't know. The rumors are he could be fired. He could be able to walk away with a severance package. Who knows? Neither of these teams will be making the playoffs now because the Ravens officially blew it. And man, oh man, someone's got to get fired, a defense coordinator or something, because that is just embarrassing. But let's go ahead and move on to a team that did clinch the playoff spot for the first time since 1999. That is the Buffalo Bills. Yes, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, and nobody throws after parties to making the playoffs like the Bills, because they were watching the Ravens and Bengals game live when it happened, and these videos from the locker room are absolutely amazing. The team explodes. They go crazy. Players are crying, breaking down with their kids, and it is one hell of a sight to see, and it should be a hell of a sight to see for Buffalo Bills fans, because they're in the playoffs for the first time since 1999. The game already sold out. Yes, the Bills, Jacksonville Jaguars sold out instantly. It's the highest ticket per game for the playoffs so far this week. The Bills and the Jaguars. Yes, wrap your mind around that. The Bills will be trying to make some damage and trying to make a little bit of run. If they're playing at home, maybe I'd give them a chance. They got a great defense at home, but they ended up winning against the Dolphins this past weekend to get in and punch their ticket 22-16 and win you some money right here on the Bays Golden Days, because they were favored by 2 points. And I told you, the Buffalo Bills playing for their lives, take them -2 and they win you some money. And that's exactly what they did, and they got into the playoffs. So congratulations to the Buffalo Bills and all the fans out there. I've never actually seen a Buffalo Bill fan in real life, but I'm assuming you're still out there, so congratulations to you. Let's go ahead and move on and look at the champion from that division, which was, surprise surprise, the New England Patriots. I've said it so many times in this podcast, the AFC East is the AFC weak. It's the AFC get off your fucking knees and stop handing fucking titles to Tom Brady, because Tom Brady, once again, I was surprised he actually played this game. I guess he won the 190 yards so that he could end the season as the number one passing leader. Man, this guy is just boosting up his MVP case. It's probably going to be between him or Todd Gurley, because Carson Wentz got hurt. It seemed like everybody got hurt this season, and Tom Brady is the last man standing. I'm sure he'll get the award. The Patriots really only played their starters for about a half, but they still covered that 15.5-point spread, and they're into the playoffs again. They'll be chilling first week, though, with a bye, so let's go ahead and skip them, because we don't even got to talk about the next podcast. We'll go on now to the AFC South, and we saw a matchup between the Texans and the Colts. The Colts actually won the game 22-13 and covered the spread, but apparently they weren't too happy because they fired their head coach, Chuck Pagano. Yes, we all know Chuck Pagano, a legendary coach for the Colts, dealing with some cancer issues coming back. That was one hell of a story, but they finally decided to get rid of him. I don't know what they expected him to do without Andrew Luck. I've said it so many times on this podcast, the Colts without Andrew Luck are basically the Browns. The Browns probably have more talent than the Colts, because the Colts are just pathetic. The only guy that was still putting on for them this season was Frank Gore. He had 24 carries for 100 more yards this week to put him over 14,000 yards. So, you know, we got to shout out to Frank Gore. Used to be holding it down here in the Bay Area. OG from the U. Got to give our shout outs. But the Colts, who knows what they're going to do. I'm thinking maybe they could go after Shaw, the coach from Stanford. He has the connection with Andrew Luck. It'll be interesting to see how that turns around for that franchise and Andrew Luck, because he's still dealing with a bunch of surgeries out in Europe, out in Germany, wherever the hell he is. Hell, why not just do it at the Stanford Medical Center? I don't know, but Andrew Luck is smart and he should figure it out, and hopefully the Colts figure it out. They'll be looking at a top five draft pick next year. But let's go ahead and just keep it moving in that AFC South with two teams that will be getting into the playoffs. Yes, two teams played each other in week 17 and they will both be in the playoffs, because the Titans got the upset victory 15-10 over the Jaguars. The Jaguars did clinch a playoff spot last week by losing to the 49ers. I thought they would come out and try to play hard this week. Leonard Fournette was bottled up with 19 carries for 59 yards, but he is their first 1,000 rusher since 2011. He was also their leading receiver in their day. This Jacksonville Jaguars offense has really been falling apart the last couple weeks, and this is not the time to do it right before playoffs. Blake Bortles had two more interceptions. That's five interceptions in the last 2 weeks, while the Titans limp into the playoffs. I mentioned it during the Raiders segment. Marcus Mariota has been struggling all year long. He's thrown more interceptions than he's thrown touchdown passes this year, but he's leading the team in rushing yards this game. Derrick Henry was actually the leading receiver with one catch for 66 yards and a touchdown. And the Titans get into the playoffs. They're limping. It wasn't pretty. They lost to the Niners a couple weeks ago. They lost to the Raiders first week of the season. They're not too much of an impressive team. I don't think they got any chance against the Chiefs next week, but I'll save that for the Straight Cash Homie segment. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now. We go from the AFC. Let's go ahead and talk about the NFC and a team that just missed the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks lost this weekend 26-24. They missed a last second field goal and they missed the playoffs. How heartbroken. At least for them, they can say, well, at least the Falcons won because they needed the Falcons to lose to get in. But still, what a heartbreaking way to end your last game, losing 26-24, missing a last second field goal. Man, oh man, have the Seahawks been a disappointment this year. Everybody wants to talk about the Raiders and how disappointed they've been. Well, guess what? The Seahawks actually broke the Raiders' records for most penalties. Yes, that's how dysfunctional they have been. Russell Wilson, I've said he should be an MVP candidate this season. He's led them in every single stat category from passing to rushing to damn near receiving. It seems like Russell Wilson has been doing it all, but he cannot do enough as Bruce Arian gets his final win as a coach. Good for him and good for the Cardinals. He ends the season at an 8-8 record. He gets the 50 wins, and that is the most in Cardinals history. Bruce Arian has officially announced that he will retire. So the Cardinals will be looking for a new quarterback. Hell, they might be looking for a new coach. Hell, they should just be happy to get David Johnson back because we all know what David Johnson can do, and it seems like a few people have forgot about him. But hey, he coming back to that Cardinals defense next year, and they're right back in it with an 8-8 record. We'll see what happens in that NFC West. But I know it's the Bay Area, and if we're talking about the NFC West, I know you guys want to hear about the San Francisco 49ers, who won again to make it 6 straight with Jimmy Garoppolo. What a guy, what a guy. They're starting to call him Jimmy GQ because he's just too cool in the pocket. I don't know. He played against the Rams team this weekend that benched their whole entire starters. They played against their second team. I will say I was impressed against him with the Jaguars, but they beat the Jaguars when Blake Bortles self-imploded and threw for 3 interceptions. They beat the Titans. I've already said I don't think the Titans are that impressive as a playoff team, but it is impressive for Jimmy Garoppolo to turn this pile of shit that was the San Francisco 49ers into a somewhat decent team, getting them 6 straight wins. Some might say they're the hottest team in football, and hey, all the Niner fans who were the best 0-5 football team, best 0-10 football team. Maybe you're the best 6-10 football team with Jimmy Garoppolo because he's actually winning games. The Niners, when they were 0-10, had a 99% chance to get a top 5 draft pick. Well, I guess Jimmy Garoppolo is the new 1% because they knocked him all the way down to 9. Number 10, possibly. You guys will be in a tiebreaker coin flip with the Oakland Raiders. So, hey, like I said, Bay Area expectations were two completely different things. Raider fans thought we were going to the playoffs. Niner fans didn't even want to watch this season. They stopped halfway through and said, I don't even care about it. But then Jimmy G came around and everybody dropped their jaw for him to put his cock in their mouth. But, hey, Niner fans are happy. They found their quarterback. They're going to talk about doing an extension deal this offseason. If not, they're going to franchise tag him for sure. Carlos Hyde is a free agent. I think that's going to be huge to re-sign him. I know a lot of Niner fans want a Saquon Barkley, but I don't think he falls to number 9 or 10 in the draft now. Carlos Hyde had a good day with 15 carries, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was a little bit less productive than last year, but hey, the whole entire first half of the season for the 49ers was unproductive at the end of the day. They got a few pieces they can build around with that defensive line up front. It'll be interesting to see, though, the direction that they take, trying to add some pieces to Jimmy Garoppolo and his offense. They for sure need to go after a wide receiver. I like Allen Robinson from the Jaguars coming off his ACL injury. I think that's a good fit for the Niners. Hell, who knows? Maybe Dez Bryant gets cut by the Cowboys. Hell, maybe they bring back Michael Crabtree from across the bay. The 49ers got to get some pieces for Jimmy Garoppolo, and they got a chance, and we'll see who the better team in the Bay Area is next year because the Raiders will be traveling to Santa Clara, Levi's Stadium. We all know what happened last time the Raiders and the Niners faced off. We will have Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan versus Derek Carr and John Gruden. Man, oh man, I cannot wait. Like I've been saying all year long, all these Niner fans are giving Jimmy Garoppolo all the praise and all the glory, but I really think Kyle Shanahan has turned his team around because this offense was running better plays than the Raiders were with half the talent. I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan was scheming and drawing things open, but like I said, next year, Shanahan and Garoppolo versus Derek Carr and John Gruden. I can't fucking wait, and I can't wait to get back to the Bay's golden days, baby, because that's what this podcast is all about. But let's not slow down. Let's finish finish off this 2017 Week 17 NFL recap and move on to the NFC North, where the champions are the Minnesota Vikings. They'll ride into the playoffs on a winning streak after taking care of the Bears 23-10. The Vikings will be the number two seed in the playoffs. And hey, to celebrate, they won us some money here on the Bays Golden Days, covering that 11-point spread. Yes, they were still playing for that second seed, and they got it. The Bears on the other side, after losing again and getting swept by the entire NFC North, they fire their head coach, John Fox. Yes, I said it last week. They beat the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Ravens to sweep the AFC North, and now they got swept by the NFC North. It seems like they're playing in the wrong conference, and if the Bears were in the AFC somehow, maybe John Fox would still be the head coach, but nope, he is done. He is no longer the coaches after they got completely shut out by this dominant Vikings defense. They improved their historic third down conversion on defense to less than 25% now. I'm telling you, all year long, they have been great stopping teams on third down, and Case Keenum not turning the ball over has been great on converting on third down. So this Vikings defense is definitely a team to look for in the playoffs. Let's go ahead and finish off that division now with the Packers and the Lions, because the Packers, for the first time in 9 years, will end with a losing record. That pretty much means for the first time in 9 years, they haven't had Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback, because they fell apart without Aaron Rodgers. Brent Hundley, a lot of people thought at UCLA he might be a decent quarterback in the NFL, but he has not shown it yet, as he struggled again this weekend with two interceptions. The Lions got the win 35-11 to cover that 6.5-point spread, but apparently they weren't too happy about it, because they fired head coach Jim Caldwell. This is Jim Caldwell, who is probably the best coach the Lions have ever had according to winning percentages. Hell, this was the first time that the Lions have swept the Packers twice in the same season since 1991, but it was still not enough to keep Jim Caldwell's job. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to come over and take over for Matthew Stafford's career. We all know Matthew Stafford has been putting up amazing stats. He just really hasn't been able to do anything with it. He threw for 323 and 3 touchdowns this weekend. You got to get a coach in there who can win him some games. You got to surround him with some talent. When I think of Matthew Stafford and the Lions, I think a lot about Andrew Luck and the Colts. But hey, both these teams now with a head coaching vacancy, we'll see who comes in and shapes these still young quarterbacks that still got a chance to make a big impact on the future of this league. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now to the NFC East, as we had the Redskins and the Giants play off in a game that really meant nothing at all, except maybe Kirk Cousins was trying to make some more money. Well, he just took a little bit of a salary hit, because his final game as a Redskin potentially has 158 and 3 interceptions. Yes, 3 is a big number for Kirk Cousins, because he could get franchise tag for the third straight year. I don't think they bring him back to the Redskins. They finally have an excuse to cut him after a down year, but I think that he ends up in Denver somehow, maybe Arizona. Those could be a couple landing fits for him, but I think Kirk Cousins' days are over for the Redskins. As for the Giants, Eli Manning, is it going to be his last couple days? That is the biggest question. They have the number two overall pick in the draft. A lot of mock drafts I'm seeing have them taking a quarterback. I think that'd be stupid as hell. You still have Eli Manning for a couple more years. If I'm the Giants, I'm taking Saquon Barkley number two overall, because you've been looking for a running back for years and years and years, and now you're passing off a top five talent. This is probably the best running back that's come out of the draft since Ezekiel Elliott, maybe right up there with Leonard Fournette, because Saquon Barkley has been playing phenomenal. But hey, the Giants actually had their most production out of the running back so far this season, as Orleans Darkwa needed 153 yards to get a $200,000 incentive. Guess what? He rushes for a career-high 154 yards. Yes, he needed 153 to make 200,000. He got 154 on 20 carries. He also got into the end zone. So, hey, shout-out to Darkwa. But like I said, if the Giants were smart, they'll probably take Barkley number two overall. And we'll see what happens in that NFC East division. Let's go ahead and look at a team that actually won the NFC East now, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. They are the number one seed in the NFC, and they honestly didn't even care about this game this past weekend. They sat everybody and lost to the Cowboys 6-0 and went probably was the most boring game all season long. I mean, honestly, against the second stringers from the Eagles, Dak Prescott throws for 179 and one late garbage time touchdown. I don't know. Do you still call it garbage time if the score is 0-0? Because there was no points in the first quarter, no points in the second quarter, no points in the third quarter, until finally Bryce Butler brings in a touchdown catch late, and then Dan Bailey misses the extra point. He also missed a field goal late in the game that still gave the Eagles a chance, but like I said, The Eagles did not care about this game at all. There were 0 points in the first half in an NFL game for the first time since 2011. That's how bad this game was. The Cowboys should have came in and rolled the Eagles with all the backups that they were playing. Ezekiel Elliott still got to 100 yards, but it took him 27 carries. Dez Bryant was nowhere to be seen. There are rumors that he could be cut. He could be released. As I mentioned, maybe the 49ers are a landing spot for him. But man, oh man, if they want to cut anybody, may I suggest the Cowboys cut their coach, Jason Garrett. We saw the moves that the Raiders made with Jack Del Rio instantly after not living up to expectations. Jason Garrett, I don't think he's lived up to expectations at all, unless you don't have any expectations for Jason Garrett. Because honestly, in my opinion, he's turning into the next Marvin Lewis. 7 years now for Jason Garrett, one playoff win. How much longer are they going to keep him in Dallas? Hell, I'd like to see a different coach in there, maybe a little bit of attitude, maybe a little bit of excitement one time, because all he does is stand on the sideline and clap like a dummy. Jason Garrett, I think your days are coming close to the end unless Jerry Jones saves you again for I don't know why, but this was truly a disappointment. It seemed like everybody regressed. His Dallas Cowboys defense that stepped up last year got beat a lot, and Dak Prescott is truly the big story. The biggest meme I've seen so far in the NFL community is Dak is trash, because man, oh man, I tried warning you guys on the season preview podcast. I said Carson Wentz is going to have a better season than Dak Prescott. Look out for the sophomore slump from Dak Prescott, especially dealing with that suspension from Ezekiel Elliott. He played even worse. Man, oh man, you got to figure some things out. Dez Bryant has his worst season. Dak Prescott is not looking like a future franchise quarterback. Like I've been mentioning, he looked like a real game manager with the run offense, with that offensive line. The Cowboys are going to have to try to figure it out next year because their season is done. But the Eagles will be sitting back and watching next week because they are the number one seed in the NFC and will be on a bye week. But let's go ahead and finish off this last week of 2017 NFL season review with the NFC South, because we had a bunch of great matchups this weekend in the NFC South to see who could win and who could get in. We'll start off with the Saints and the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers actually had a last second walk-off touchdown similar to what the Bengals did. Luckily for the Saints, they're already sitting with an 11-5 record, so they are in the playoffs even though they lost this week. They will be facing the Panthers next week, but Drew Brees, once again, the man is playing phenomenal, not just by a statistical standpoint, because statistically, he's been throwing for way more yardage these past couple years, but they missed the playoffs. Now he's got his lowest yardage percentage, but he's got the highest completion percentage. Yes, the highest ever. He set the single season record for completion percentage at 72%. He has been playing phenomenal. This rookie, Alvin Kamara, he had a kick return touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown. This guy gets receiving touchdown. The guy does it all with him and Mark Ingram in the backfield. They truly have a two-headed monster. And then you bring in a wide receiver like Michael Thomas who continues to make plays. This defense is stepping up with Marshawn Lattimore matching up with every number one wide receiver. Mike Evans was locked down this game. The Saints are a team to definitely watch out for in the playoffs. And then let's go ahead and see who's going to be joining them from the NFC South. The Falcons get in after taking care of the Panthers 22-10, and they clinched the last playoff spot. Man, oh man, what an up and down season it has been for the Falcons, with Matt Ryan going from MVP to going to bottom of the barrel quarterback to playing well and having a few games over 300 yards. This was another game where they had to win to get in, and Matt Ryan showed up with 317 yards and a touchdown. It was the Panthers who blew it with Cam Newton with only 180 yards and three interceptions. Cam did not look good, but the Panthers will still be in the playoffs. Like I mentioned, they will be taking on the Saints, which is not a great matchup. They've already been beaten by the Saints twice this year. The Panthers are struggling heading into the playoffs, while the Falcons look like they might have caught their groove at the right moment. Hey, you got to remember the hot streak they went on last year to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. The Falcons are now 10-0 when they score 17 points in a game. Obviously, they're 0-6 when they don't score 17 points with a 10-6 record, but like I said, they are the only returning team in the NFC to make it back to the playoffs this year, so they have experience on their side. We shall see how it all plays off, and why not just hop straight into it, because that was every single game from 2017 NFL season week 17, which means that here on the Bay's Golden Days, we not only previewed every game, but we reviewed every single game from the 2017 NFL regular season, and now it's time for the playoffs, baby. So let's go ahead and hop straight into it the same way that we always do it. Where's my man Randy at?
Straight cash, homie.
That's right. It's time for straight cash, homie, the wild card weekend edition right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, where we look at every single matchup by the point spread to give you our best picks and bets of the weekend. weekend. And let's go ahead and hop into Wild Card Weekend. We got four matchups this week with the Patriots, Steelers, Eagles, and Vikings all on bye. Let's go ahead and start it off with Saturday at 1:20 p.m. We'll be kicking off with the Titans and the Chiefs facing off in Kansas City. The Chiefs are favored by 9 points at home, and I'm right there with you thinking 9 points in the playoffs. Damn, that's a pretty big point spread. But this is a Titans team that just lost to the 49ers a couple weeks ago. I've mentioned it. The Raiders ran through them earlier in the season. I think the Chiefs obviously were a better team than the Raiders this year. As I've mentioned on previous podcasts, they are the second team in NFL history to have a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards, to have a running back rush for 1,000, to have a wide receiver catch for 1,000, and to have a tight end catch for 1,000 yards. I think the Chiefs have too many weapons on offense. Defensively, I think they have a little bit of trouble trying to slow down the Tennessee Titans in that smash-mouth, exotic rush offense, but they could be without DeMarco Murray, so they're going to have to heavily rely on Derrick Henry, or else it's going to be Marcus Mariota forced to throw the ball against Marcus Peters and this defensive backfield for the Kansas City Chiefs. But like I mentioned early on this podcast, Marcus Mariota has struggled this year. He has thrown more interceptions than touchdown passes. He's coming off that same fractured fibula that Derek Carr was coming off of. He has struggled this year. I know that he has looked better in no-huddle offenses. They're dealing with offensive coordinator problems themselves. I think that's too many problems to overcome. I like the Chiefs in this game. 9 does seem like a lot, but I think the Chiefs end up running away with it, and Marcus Mariota in this rush offense is not able to keep up. I will take the Chiefs at home, minus 9 points on Saturday. Then we move to our second game Saturday night, and we got the Falcons and the Rams, and I think this could be the biggest upset of the weekend. Yes, hear me out. The Falcons have been up and down all year long, and the Rams have been pretty consistent. The Rams have won one more game than them, and they are a 6-point favorite, but I definitely think experience comes into play. As I mentioned earlier on this podcast, the Atlanta Falcons are the only team in the NFC to make it back for the playoffs from the year before. Yes, there are 5 brand new teams who will be making it to the playoffs that were not in the playoffs in the NFC last year. So I think that's huge, and I think Matt Ryan, for all the ups and downs that he's been through this year, I think that he's going to keep it on the upward trend as they took care of the Panthers last week. And as I mentioned, they are 10-0 when they score 17 points. I think they can score 17 points on this Rams defense. I know Aaron Donald is one hell of a player, but I look for them to use Julio Jones. Got to step up and have a huge game. I like this Rams team and this nucleus of young talent, but that's exactly what they are, young talent. I can't bet on Jared Goff in the playoffs until I see him in the playoffs. Todd Gurley, never been to the playoffs. Aaron Donald, never been to the playoffs. Head coach Sean McVay, you're the youngest coach in the NFL. You've never made it to the playoffs as a head coach, at least. So I'm going to say that that comes back and bites the Rams in the butt. They lost last week to the Niners, even though they're playing their second stringers. I don't think that was good. I think they needed some momentum while the Falcons are looking to stay hot, and that is going to be my upset of the wild card round. I'm taking the Falcons to beat the Rams plus 6 points. Even if they keep it close, I think they cover that point spread, and this game is decided by a field goal, and the Rams are missing their field goal kicker, Greg Zuerlein, so hey, they might just miss a game-winning field goal. You heard it first right here on the Bay's Golden Days. Moving on to Sunday, where we got 2 more games. These are starting off early in the morning, 10 a.m. We got the Buffalo Bills versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars are favored by 9 points, and this defense has been playing lights out. Easily the best defense in the AFC, at least, compared to those Vikings over there in NFC, but Jacksonville has been getting sacks all year long with Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye locking down wide receivers, looking like the best corner duo in the NFL. They'll be facing a Bills team that is going to be questionable for LeSean McCoy. He rolled up his ankle again this past weekend, so he's questionable to play. If you don't got LeSean McCoy, I don't think you really got a chance. I don't think the Bills got really much of a chance at all. Maybe if they're playing at home, they've been a great defensive team at home. But even against Blake Bortles, maybe they can force him to turn the ball over, but the Jaguars should be able to run behind Leonard Fournette. Hell, their best run stopper for the Bills, Marcell Dareus, got traded to the Jaguars halfway through the season. The Bills were giving up halfway through the season, starting Nathan Peterman and shit. I don't think Tyrod Taylor can carry this team into the playoffs, especially against his Jacksonville defense, so I think they shut him out. So I will take the Jacksonville Jaguars minus 9 points to shut out the Bills. And then we'll move on to our final wild card game of the week. That is the Panthers versus the Saints. The Saints, like I've mentioned, have already beat the Panthers twice this year and are a 6.5-point favorite. The Panthers are one of those teams, just like the Falcons, seems like they can get hot and go on a run, or it seems like they can just fall apart at any given moment. It's crazy to see this NFC South had the Panthers in a Super Bowl, then have the Falcons in a Super Bowl, and I might be picking the Saints to make a run all the way back to the Super Bowl because, like I mentioned, Drew Brees has been phenomenal. I think he's the fastest quarterback ever to 70,000 yards. He just set a record for a 72% completion percentage. Drew Brees has been playing phenomenal, and he's got his best backfield of his career with Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Michael Thomas. You know what he can do on the outside. I've talked about Marshawn Lattimore all season long. They are dealing with an injury from Kenny Vaccaro on the backside, but I think they do enough to get it done against his Panthers defense. Luke Kuechly is going to have his hands full with Kamara and Ingram in the backfield, but Cam Newton, you're going to throw three interceptions the week before playoffs. I cannot bet on you. I'm a big Panther fan, believe me, but I like the Saints to take care of this one at home, -6.5 points, and that is every single wild card game this weekend. Yes, there's only four, with the Patriots, Steelers, Eagles, Vikings all on byes, but on Saturday, I like the Chiefs at home, -9 points. Then I like the Falcons to upset the Rams, +6 on the road. Then we get to Sunday. I like the Jaguars to take care of business, -9 points at home against the Bills. And then I like the Saints to top it all off Sunday night and take care of the Panthers. And then we'll have some great matchups for round two of the 2017 NFL playoffs. Don't worry, the Bays Golden Days is going to be back every single week to keep you updated. Who's made it to the next round? Who's going all the way to the Super Bowl? And all the latest news on both, yes, the Raiders and the Niners. We got to get this official. Jonny Gruden, Chucky back in the Bay. Silver and black looks good on the rich kid. Rich Gannon bringing in also. John Gruden, Rich Gannon, Bill Callahan, Gus Bradley, all these coaching rumors coming back to the Bay. We'll talk about everything for the Raider Nation and look forward to the draft coming up with the top 10 pick. Like I said, the Raiders and the 49ers will be having a coin flip at the combine to decide who has the 9th overall pick. The Bay's Golden Days is coming back, believe me. John Gruden and Derek Carr versus Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. Get your fucking schedules ready, baby. The Bay is back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. I'm Marcus Boucher. This is the Bay's Golden Days podcast. The Raiders got one more year guaranteed in the Bay Area, so I'm guaranteeing they're back in the playoffs next year. You heard it first, baby. Let's get it. Bay's Golden Days. I'm out.